Psalm 1, beloved congregation, hear now the very word of God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And now please turn to Luke chapter 6 for our sermon text. Gospel of Luke chapter 6. And our sermon text is going to be verses 43 through the end of the chapter, verse 49. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 43. Once again, pay attention as God's very word is read. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he's like. It's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Beloved congregation, what you just heard is God's very word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready for the gospel today? Yes? Are you ready to hear the preaching of the gospel? Amen. Amen. But we come to the end of this great sermon preached by the greatest preacher who ever lived, the God-man himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. In our sermon text this morning, our Lord warns us against a Christ-less religion that can only bear evil, rotten fruit. A religion that claims to have the profession of faith, but no possession of faith. A religion that has no firm foundation and therefore cannot stand when the floods arise. The theme of our sermon this morning is this: without Jesus, you can bear no good fruit, and without his word, you have no firm foundation. Trust and obey him. And as we consider that main idea, the main theme of this passage, we'll look at 2 points. The gospel fruit, verses 43 through 45, and firm foundation, verses 46 through 49. Now, the first century Judaism had become an apostate religion, a Christless religion led by self-righteous leaders and wrong spiritual teachers. They claimed to be children of Abraham, right? But they rejected the Messiah, the Lord of Abraham. Abraham didn't do that. Abraham trusted in Christ and was saved by him. But the majority of the scribes and the Pharisees had departed from the true religion. They were like the spiritually blind people leading other spiritually blind people into destruction. They were like that man who has a large beam stuck in his eye, but he's trying to fix other people's specs. And their disciples would do the same. Their followers were deceived. And our Lord is telling us this morning in this passage that not everyone who claims to be a citizen of Christ's kingdom actually belongs to Christ's kingdom. So how do we recognize these false teachers and their disciples? By their fruits. How do we recognize true Christians, true disciples and followers of Jesus? The text does not say by their words, but again, by their fruits. In verse 46, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you?" Beloved congregation, our sermon text is one of the scariest passages in the entire Bible. It's one of the scariest passages in the entire Bible. Notice, these people are calling Jesus not just Lord. What are they calling Him? Lord! Lord! Repetition of a word in the Bible is used to emphasize something. Repetition, for example, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." And when you hear Jesus say that, you better pay attention. "Truly, truly, I say to you." "Amen, amen, I say to you." Repetition of names in the Bible is used to emphasize closeness, intimacy, a personal and intimate relationship. For example, God said, "Abraham, Abraham, Samuel, Samuel." Or as Jesus said, "Saul, Saul." Now, these people in verse 46 are claiming to have a personal, a covenantal relationship with Jesus. You see that? By their repetition of the title Lord. Lord, Lord. They called Him Lord and therefore claimed to be His slaves. They are saying, "Jesus, You are Lord and we belong to You. We are Your people." In the parallel passage in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, here's what the Bible says. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the ones who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me," many, "'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in Your name? And cast out demons in Your name? And do many mighty works in Your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" That's scary, isn't it? That is scary. In the final analysis, the question is not whether you know Jesus, but the question is, does Jesus know you? They call Jesus Lord, but do not obey Him. They're workers of lawlessness. Therefore, by their rotten fruit of disobedience, they show that they never belonged to Christ in the first place. You see? They are false professors. Professor meaning those who have made a public profession of faith. This is my burden this morning as a minister of the gospel, to warn you and call you to repentance and faith in Jesus. Are you a mere professor of faith without actually possessing it? Examine yourselves. Jesus tells us this morning in His Word that there are good trees and there are bad trees. No third option. There are those who build their house upon sand, and then there are those who build their house upon the rock. That's it. There's no third category. There is no middle ground. There are sheep and goats. There are those who have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit and those who are not. You're either in Christ or you're under the wrath of God. No middle ground. What is your status? Are you a sheep or are you a false professor? Christ calls us to look to Him, to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. You will recognize them by their fruits. And that's our first point, gospel fruit. Notice verses 43 and 44 again. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. Children, this is such a simple yet profound lesson that our Lord is teaching us. You don't get mangoes from an apple tree, right? It's simple. Since our move to Florida, my wife has been joyfully cultivating her garden on our little patio. It's amazing. She can actually have a garden all year long. And just a couple of days ago, I helped little David pluck a tomato from her tomato plant. Now, I must confess, I do not have a green thumb. Being from India, I have a brown thumb, right? So how did I know that it was a tomato plant from which David plucked a tomato? Well, the fruit showed me what type of plant it was, right? Trees bear fruit according to their kind. But imagine if Corey had planted cucumber seeds and expected to receive tomatoes. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? That's impossible. Cucumber plants do not bear tomatoes. The seed that you introduce into the ground will bear fruit according to its kind. Fruit that we see is a reflection of the core, the heart. People are corrupt by nature. We all were born as rebels, as slaves to our own sinful nature. We were in bondage. But those who are in Christ are given a new nature, a new heart, a new core. They are a new creation. Only those who are united to Christ by faith can bear good fruit that honors God. You see? The corrupt fruit comes out of the corrupt core of the tree. So what you need, brothers and sisters, what you need is not external renovation and cleansing. What you need, what I need, is heart transformation. Christianity is a heart religion. The gospel changes us, transforms us from the inside out. Therefore, it is impossible for a person who has been saved by Christ to not be transformed. It is impossible for a person to be in Christ and not be fruitful. The gospel changes everything. It changes how we live, how we think, how we behave, how we treat each other. Only in Christ can we find and experience true fruitfulness. So again, examine yourselves this morning and cast yourselves this morning at the mercy of Jesus. It is possible, and I'm warning you, it's possible to go with the flow, to speak the Christianese, to put on a show to deceive others and yourselves, and then end up in hell forever and ever. This is serious, and I pray that no one here is faking it. Profession of faith is important and necessary. But we're not saved by mere profession of faith. We are saved by the possession of faith. Do you possess true faith or you merely profess it? How do we know? By your fruits is what our Lord is teaching us here. The real proof of discipleship is not whether we simply hear the words of Jesus. The real proof of discipleship is whether we put those words into practice and live under the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we must understand here what our Lord is not teaching. Our Lord is not teaching that we are saved by our works of obedience. Right? He's not teaching that our faith must have good works in order for us to be justified. No, that is false religion. That's Roman Catholicism. That's Hinduism. That's Islam. That's not what our Lord is teaching here. We reject that because the Bible rejects that. We're Protestants. That means we actually believe what the Bible says about salvation. We affirm with Luther and Calvin and the apostles that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus. In order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified. That's Galatians 2:16. Romans 3:28 says, "We hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." That's the only way a sinner is ever saved, by faith alone in Christ alone. And so, no good works can save you. You understand that? No good works can save you. Our righteous deeds are as filthy rags before a holy God. What we need is the merits and the good work of another. We need an alien righteousness without which we cannot be saved. Only the merit of Christ can save us. Only His righteousness that He procured on our behalf through His perfect and sinless life of obedience. Only that can reconcile us to God. What we need is Christ's asbestos righteousness as we stand before a holy God. That's the only way we will be saved from the wrath which is to come. Without Christ, we will perish eternally. But when a sinner trusts in Christ alone for his salvation or her salvation, God credits to that sinner the perfect obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ and unites him to Christ forever. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No true Christian can lose his or her salvation, for God keeps us to the end. The Shorter Catechism says, "Justification is an act of God's free grace unto sinners, in which He pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone." That's what Paul says to the Philippian jailer when he asked him, "What must I do to be saved?" He didn't say, "You got to do good works, you got to be baptized, you got to do this or that." What did he say to the Philippian jailer? "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." Faith alone, sola fide. Now the question comes, what about works? What about works? Shouldn't we do good works as Christians? And Jesus is teaching us here in our sermon text that true and saving faith is always accompanied by fruits of repentance. It's always accompanied with good works. Justification is by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone. It is not a dead faith, but a living faith. Faith working through love. Good works done in obedience to God's commandments are the fruits and evidences of a true and lively faith. That's what James teaches us in James 2. "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." When God the Spirit regenerates a sinner and awakens him to life in Christ, that sinner is transformed. That sinner is given new affections for Jesus that he never had before. And the fruit of the Spirit begins to be manifest more and more, gradually, progressively, in the lives of God's people. Children, you know what's the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Verse 45, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure of his heart produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." The good person is the regenerated person, saved by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit. He out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. So, our obedience as Christians is not the root, you see? It's the fruit of the gospel. What's the root of the gospel? It's only grace. That's the only way we are saved, by the grace of a merciful God who awakens us to life. And then that good heart, that good tree, produces good fruit because it has been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. But this is not the case with the evil person, the unregenerate sinner, who is without hope and without God in this world, walking in rebellion and sin. That evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. One of the great heresies of the modern evangelicalism is the doctrine of carnal Christian. Have you heard of that? Carnal Christian. This heresy teaches that you can embrace Jesus as Savior and not embrace Him as Lord. In other words, it is possible to be a Christian and not have your life transformed because Jesus is not on the throne of your life. So you can be a Christian and Jesus is still not your Lord yet. That's a damnable heresy. Because Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. You don't get to coronate Him as Lord. He is Lord. What you have to do is surrender to Him. Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is what? Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not some second work of grace. That's who Christians are. We are slaves of Jesus. We swear allegiance to Christ as Kurios, as Lord, who commands, and we obey. Of course we sin, and when we do, what do? We run to our Lord and ask for forgiveness. We are all carnal, if by that you mean that we as Christians struggle with the remnants of corruption within us, right? We're all carnal. But there is no such thing as a carnal Christian, if by that you mean that you can receive Jesus as Savior and still be altogether carnal, showing no fruit and going on living as pagans. That's a heresy, because that's not saving faith. Without Christ, you can bear no fruit, but in Christ, you bear fruit, right? John 15, our Lord declares, I'm the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you're clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burnt. So, what kind of tree are you? A good tree or a diseased, rotten tree that bears rotten fruit? Are you the tree that's described in Psalm 1 that we just read? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seats of scoffers, but his delight is where? In the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a what? A tree planted by the streams of water that bears its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. If you have no love for the Word of God, that would be a sure indicator that you have never been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. For you cannot love the Christ of the Word if you do not love the Word of Christ. Where are you standing? Upon the sinking sand with no foundation, or upon the foundation of the Word of Christ? And that's our final brief point, a firm foundation. Notice verses 47 through 49. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words, notice, and does them, I will show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation of the rock. When a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who merely hears, right, but does not do them, my words, he's like a man who built a house on the ground with no foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Children, I'm sure you have this song memorized. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down, and what? The flood came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man, on the other hand, built his house upon the sand. The rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. I apologize for not singing. And the house on the sand went smash. It's a simple, yet a profound illustration, isn't it? Again, the contrast here is between a foolish man and a wise man. Between those who hear and obey, and those who only hear and forget. True wisdom comes only through knowing Christ Jesus as our Savior and Lord. The man who built his house on the ground without a foundation might claim to be a Christian, but he's only a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. Therefore, he is deceived and on his way to ruin and destruction. Psalm 1, 4, and 5 says, the wicked are not so, but are like what? Chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. It can't stand. He can't stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. In this illustration, brothers and sisters, the rock is the word of Christ. It's the teachings of Christ. If your life is built on the teachings of Christ, it will stand and not be ruined or destroyed. Our lives must be built on Christ's word, or they're built on nothing. The trials of life, the suffering, injustice, sorrow will all come our way like floods, and they will test our foundation. What is your foundation? Is it vanity or is it Christ's word? Children, you know what happens to the sand castles after you leave the beach and go home? Those sand castles are destroyed by the waves. Sorry, but that's true, right? This is how your lives are going to be if you do not look to Christ. They will be blown away, destroyed by the waves, because they're nothing but sand castles. There is absolute futility and hopelessness in this world, but joy, hope, and fruitfulness only come to those who are in Christ alone. So children, young people, men and women in this room, I plead with you, don't waste your life. Don't build your life upon the fleeting pleasures of sin, but build your house on the rock of the Word of Christ. This book is the Word of Christ. And this book is inerrant. That means there are no errors in this book, because the author of this book is God, who cannot lie. There are many things God can't do. He can't lie. He can't sin. He can't stop being God. It is impossible for God to lie. And since it's His Word, it's impossible for this book to lie. Do you study it? Do you memorize it? Do you hide this Word in your hearts as if your lives depended on it? I pray you do. I pray you do. Do you realize that this book is more relevant and more up-to-date than tomorrow's newspaper? This is the Word of Christ. It tells us who we are, and it tells us who God is. It gives us the good news of the gospel that God rescues sinners through a Redeemer. That our God is merciful, that He is patient and compassionate, and those who look to Christ will never be moved. This Word puts on display before us Christ with all His glory. Christ, who is our only hope, in whom we stand. So I pray this morning that Psalm 46 would be your confession. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams may glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, therefore she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. When all around my soul gives way, then Christ is all my hope and stay. In Christ is our firm foundation. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Congregation, the floods of God's judgment are coming. Are you ready? Are you ready for the floods of God's judgment? When the judge of the universe examines you, he will be looking for the foundation upon which your life is built. If you did not live for Christ and His glory, you wasted your life. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but what? Loses his own soul. On that day, the only covering, the only foundation that will save you from the wrath of God is in Christ Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Him. Those who trust in their good works or merits will be swept into hell by the floods of divine judgment. But those who rest in Christ will never, ever, ever be moved or destroyed. Build your life in obedience to the words of Christ, and you will be able to withstand anything, even the storms of final judgment. Look to Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Amen.